Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan.
I'm Mike Lupica, the New York Daily News and MLB.com.
And I am Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN, and we welcome you to the Monday morning edition of the Sports Reporters podcast, absent our good friend Mitch Albom, who will be returning to us on Thursday. We do this each Monday and Thursday, and we are the reincarnation of a television trio that worked together for, almost three decades on ESPN. But we welcome you. Good morning, Monday morning, everybody, and happy Oscars, and we do have to talk about that at some point.
It was great.
We have to talk about the Oscars at some point.
Bob, I'll just tell you this. Yep. A few months ago, okay, I have a very savvy movie-going son named Zach Lupica, and he called us up one day, and he said, "Dad, I just saw the best movie of the year. It's South Korean with subtitles." I said, "Yeah, okay, good, fine. Let's, I want to talk about football." And he was right.
I saw it because of the overwhelmingly dazzling reviews that I kept reading about it at the time, 2 months ago or so. And I went to see it, and I'm not going to do anything with a spoiler alert, but hang around to the end, folks. I'll just tell you that now. Anyway, we'll get to that later. But the big news in Beantown, nobody calls it that anymore. That's so early 20th century, is that the deal is done. The deal is done. It's been rejiggled, and Mookie Betts and David Price are, in fact, new members of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the new members of the Boston Red Sox are, as has been from the beginning, Alex Verdugo. But now new names are the name we love, Jeter Downs, named after, yes, and Connor Wong. Downs is a shortstop and middle infielder, and Wong's a catcher who has versatility and can play other positions. All right, Michael, it's finally consummated. Just what's your, give me a takeaway on the whole thing.
Well, I was, a lot of Red Sox fans I know were reaching out to me when the kid pitcher from the Twins killed the Twins part of the deal. And for on Saturday afternoon, I had this thought that perhaps, Bob, the baseball gods had intervened here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And given everybody on Jersey Street, formerly Yawkey Way, the chance to reevaluate exactly what they were doing. But then I started making calls to baseball people, and they said, nope, this train is way too far down the tracks. And even if the Dodgers element falls apart, that the Red Sox would go back to the Padres. So they were fixed on doing this now, not waiting until the trade deadline. And they had obviously decided that what he thought his value is, and he has a right to think it is sky high, and what they think his value is, were so far apart that they were never going to make a deal. Okay, so let's just look at it from the Boston point of view. Listen, Bob has said this, I've said this, everybody has said this. They are trading away as gifted an all-around baseball player, Bob, as they've ever had. That's a fair statement. I'm not saying he's the hitter.
That is an accurate statement. And yes. Now, when Michael says ever, we're not talking the post-ESPN era. Right. When we're talking, the baseball began in Boston in a codified way in 1871 in a league called the National Association. Boston has had a team continually in baseball since 1871. I don't know if any other city other than possibly New York or Chicago could make that statement. Anyway, Mookie Betts is the best all-around talent. He's a better athlete and a better all-around player than the vaunted Ted Williams. He's a better player and a better all-around athlete than the vaunted Carl Yastrzemski, or throw in any other names you want. This is the most gifted player that was ever put on a Red Sox uniform.
And Bob, it's interesting. I was thinking about this over the weekend as we waited to see whether this thing was going to happen or not. And remember the last time we thought in Boston that there was a gifted all-around outfielder like that, and that was Mr. Fred Lynn. And mm-hmm. and this is not to diminish the accomplishments of Jim Rice in the Hall of Fame on merit, okay, but he wasn't that kind of player. Lynn was that kind of player. And Bob, where did he go after he left Boston? Oh, I know. He went to Southern California too. And people are now making, in the world of whataboutism, they say, well, look at Lynn's first 6 years or whatever it was, and Mookie's first 6 years, and they didn't find a whole lot. Obviously, Mookie's skill set is extraordinary. But, you know, you've heard me talk about this before. It got so much play when I put it in a column about a year ago. Buck Showalter, in addition to everything else, says Mookie Betts is the best right fielder he's ever seen with his own eyes. And I mean as a baseball man. He's not going back to Clemente and any of those guys. So this is what they are trading away. So, Bob, we're not going to spend the whole podcast on this, but it's such an interesting modern sports world situation that we've got with the Red Sox and Mookie. And then we'll look at it from the Dodgers' point of view, because I think this is not just a tremendous thing for them, but for baseball. Bob, if you're the Red Sox and you're looking at the landscape just for 2020, not with 2020 hindsight, but with 2020 vision, okay? And you know that even with Mookie, it is extremely unlikely that you are going to compete not only with the Yankees this year in the American League East, but the Rays. So I will ask you this. What do you do?
I have wrestled with this, and I have a thought that might be completely crazy, but it's my thought, and I believe we'll never hear this from the Red Sox. We couldn't possibly hear this from the Red Sox, but here's what I think might be the thinking. The American League East race, as we know it, is already over, barring a colossal catastrophes, numerous colossal catastrophes that would prevent the
biggest
Yankees.
Would have to be Gerrit Cole, you know, getting hurt in April and being lost for the season, something like that.
But the Yankees are stacked to win the American League East at the least, and American League in general, I would think, and the Red Sox have to know that, and so their option with a player who will be a free agent at the end of the 2020 season would be to keep him through the trading deadline, or B, keep him all year just because you want to compete and go for it. But what are you going for? Well, in realistically,
yes, right.
You're going for the one wild card game.
A one-game season. Yep.
Right. And so that's the deal. And then if you don't make a deal now, you would lose him. Get Bupkis. And no one ever wants to do that. That was their option, though. If they thought they could keep them and they really had a chance to win in 2020, but they're rational people. I can't bring myself to believe that there is a person in that organization, from John Henry to Chaim Bloom, to anyone who the new manager supposedly is going to be, Ron Ronicky, that honestly thinks that the Yankees can be stopped at this year.
Are gettable. Right. They're not gettable. They're just simply not gettable. And the only team that is actually thinking that it has a chance is Tampa, okay? And they were 7 games behind the Yankees last year, and it seems to me that that gap widened when they got Cole. But, you know, the Rays, and I say this with all due respect, Bob, they're like a tick, okay? And please remember about the Rays. Please remember about the Rays. They won as many games in the playoffs against the Astros as the Yankees did. Uh-huh. They gave them all they wanted. I was at that division series. They gave them all they wanted all the way until game five. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so they won 96 games last year. Mm-hmm. So they're not going anywhere. But again, it looks like they're competing for a one-game season to keep going in the playoffs. The Yankees look that good, even with the loss of James Paxton. So, again, I circle back to this. And Bob, tell me how much – and this is different because, you know, the trade was kind of made and then it was unmade and now it's made again. So the anger has – it seems to me in Boston, just from reading and listening, has diffused slightly. So what is the mood of the electorate this morning?
Only slightly. People aren't interested in a lot of people keep coming back to, he's a billionaire. He's a billionaire. What's he worrying about here? They can't. And the same year, at the same time that they actually have raised ticket prices, not across the board, but in certain that they have this multi-tiered ticket price thing. It's a nightmare. I'm a ticket season ticket holder. I can tell you it's an absolute nightmare.
Oh, so they've changed the deal even for a long time season ticket holder like you.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, what it is the big thing is the prices for an individual game ticket range in my category from 35 to 90.
Believe it or really?
Not. Yeah. And there's games as cheap as 35, but there's games as expensive as 90. So when you're going to sell your tickets.
And you have two tickets, right, Bob?
I have four.
Oh, you have four.
I had four. Yeah, I had a family when I did it. You know,
yeah.
Wanted to take the family and take friends. I still do have four because, you know, it's...
Bob, when did you get them for the first time? When
1991.
Okay, and so that's 30 years ago. What did it cost then? What's it cost?
$10.
Then?
It was four. It was 40.
No, the whole
four.
Thing. The whole thing.
Well, multiple, just do $1,200 or so, roughly.
And now,
yeah, and it's upwards of 20,000.
Oh my
this
God!
Year. Because you have to factor into the, you know, you have to play. Well, yeah, it had a big jump from last year to this year. I did swallow hard. I don't know how long I'm going to do this. At the time I started doing it, I actually had the Celtics as well. And you could afford both at my then salary level. You could still afford both. The Celtics were at 20, you know, and roughly when I.
So, Bob, are they going to have a hard time selling? Are they going to have a hard time selling this to that extraordinarily passionate fan base?
Yeah, I can't wait to see. Now the big the tough months are, you know, April's a tough month if you and September if you're out of it, you know, and they generally are in it. But anyway, it's going to be very interesting how people are going to react. But people are very upset. They're not worried about John Henry's stub. They can't focus on 2024 and what the ramifications would be by getting under the luxury tax. They don't care. Most people don't care. There's some, you know, obviously some lawyer out there understands this, but the average guy doesn't care. He only knows is we're losing here a tremendous player. He touches every base because not only is he a great player, he's a sunny presence, he's a likable person, and I keep saying he is not low maintenance, he is no maintenance, and this is like the ideal star to present to your public. And then one other thing I must say, which is he's an African American from Tennessee. They're in very short supply, African American baseball stars. The world has changed so radically, and having one is really great to have, and they've lost the best one in all of baseball.
And Bob, a friend of mine from Boston said this is going to dredge up all the old negative stereotypes about Boston, you know, and all the things that go all the way back to Bill Russell.
We can never win that battle, Michael, here at all. You know, if you sign a Gordon Hayward, then you know people are raising flags. You can't win in Boston with that. At least not with the Celtics and the Red Sox. It's no issue with the Patriots, and of course it's not an issue in hockey as a rule. Although, you know, we do know racism has reared its ugly head in hockey this year as well. It's always out there. So anyway. People—we're always on the defensive on this issue of race in Boston.
And
we're
Bob,
forever
is
on the
this,
defensive.
Is this whole thing with the luxury tax threshold? Okay, or the tax threshold? What do they call it? Okay, is this the chickens coming home to roost in Boston? And Dombrowski did exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to win a World Series. He did. Okay, and then he gives. What, $150 million to or thereabouts to Chris Sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who's had a history of arm and shoulder problems. And then on top of that, Robert, they gave Nate Eovaldi $68 million for one relief appearance, basically. I mean, it's the most valuable relief appearance in the history of baseball. In a game they lost, by the way.
That's
the only game they lost in the 18 inning game. And it was so heroic that they, you know, everybody says, oh, that's when they really won the World Series. And even contracts like the one to Steve Pierce that they didn't have to give. And so all of that created this perfect storm. But all right, now, Bob, let's look at this from a Los Angeles point of view, because, you know, I like and respect Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers. I laugh when I hear people say, oh, he's on a hot seat. Yeah, look at his record over the last 4 years, and then look at all the, you know, the asterisks attached to the two World Series defeats. Bob, this is a tremendous thing. As soon as this was a possibility, I was writing and saying, if you're the Dodgers, you can't let this guy out of the room. Okay, because what can you do? What can you do even after 106 wins to make people think that this is going to be the year? Oh, I know. You put Mookie Betts with Mr. Bellinger and MVP, two MVP outfield.
Two MVPs. First time since 63, back-to-back. You know, the other thing about Mookie, too, is he can play center quite well. So if you need him, there. Something else, you know, he's a great right fielder and is an excellent center fielder as well. So there's that. And he, this is the Dodgers. If I'm a Dodger fan, you have to be counting the seconds till that opening day because you're so excited about what the prospects are with this team. There's no question. And the lineup they're going to have. And I'm with you, by the way. Dave Roberts, one of the fine, classiest people I ever covered in Boston. And so I'm happy.
All right. I want to add, and we'll stay in LA as we get to our NBA discussion. Okay. But before we leave this, and reminding you, by the way, that we are sponsored today by our friends at ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. And growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Listen to this. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. But then he switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/reporters. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates faster. In fact, after posting his job at ZipRecruiter, Dylan said he was amazed at how quickly great candidates were applying and found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/reporters. That's ZipRecruiter.com/REPORTERS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Bob, I wrote a column about this. I don't know if you saw it yesterday in the Daily News. Okay. And the New York Yankees, for all of the tumult now on Jersey Street, what was once the capital of chaos?
No.
Bob, what was once the capital of firing of PR guys and pitching coaches and managers and general managers and team presidents? What was that capital, Bob?
I think it was the Bronx, specifically. The South Bronx, specifically 161st and River Avenue. I think that was the headquarters.
Okay, I'm not going to assume that you raced to get the national edition of the Daily News on Sunday. But, Bob, I came up with a great stat yesterday. We have 9 professional sports teams, not counting soccer, in New York and New Jersey. 9, okay? Mm-hmm. Take the Yankees out of the conversation. The general managers of the 8 other teams, Robert, their combined time on the job is 20 years. Brian Cashman has served 22 years as the general manager of the New York. Let me just say that again. 8 other guys. Cashman has more seniority than all of them, and he has 4 times as much as the next guy on the list, which is Sean Marks of the Brooklyn Nets. Bob, I'll give you one more, and then we will move on to basketball, okay? Cashman takes the job in 98. Randy Levine has been the president of the Yankees since 2000. And since Brian Cashman, they've had 3 managers, that's all, since then, and have continued to be owned by the Steinbrenner family. So up is down, and down is up. Mm-hmm. While the Red Sox have turned in kind of to the old Yankees, and the Yankees have become a model of stability, not just in baseball, but in professional sports.
Well, that's very interesting. And of course, the idea that in this 21st century that the Yankees have wound up chasing the Red Sox, trying to match and equate the success of the Red Sox as such a man bites dog story, you know, that we never would have foreseen as we entered into the 21st century when the Yankees were coming out of winning 4 times in a very rapid period of time and should have won a 5th. And so, that's very interesting. I love that. And of course, we all remember when Brian Cashman was the boy wonder, you know.
He's only 52 years old.
Yeah, he was the boy wonder.
All right, let's stay in L.A. Let's stay in L.A. And I will ask Bob a question on the air that we discussed before we started today with Tyler Brewer, our producer. Bob, I'm looking at the Western Conference standings of the National Basketball Association. Do you believe it is inevitable that the Western Conference Finals will be played in the same building?
No, I never thought it was inevitable. I thought it was likely. I thought it was the most likely scenario, but certainly didn't put it in the mortal lock category. And for reasons that, you know, very simply that there's, you know, there's the West is the West, and there are some other teams, and as there have been for the 21st century, and it's yet another year where there's at least three teams that I think we would like to enter into the discussion in some order, those being Denver and Utah now. And also, you know, I don't know. The Rockets, what they're doing now is just like a whole other phenomenon, you know. So, do you take them seriously? I mean, ultimately, do you put them
the small, the suddenly small yes. ball Houston Rockets?
Yes.
I don't, Bob. And I know that they have two guys, either one of whom is capable of literally going off for 50 points in a playoff game, right? I mean, if you went to bed early one night and they were playing a West Coast playoff game and you found out that either Harden or Westbrook had scored 50, you'd say, oh, okay. Yeah. And then they probably would have lost that game, okay? No, this, and I'll tell you something, Bob, and this is another discussion for another day. And Daryl Morey is going to end up losing his job in Houston, and it's going to go all the way back to China. And it's one of those things where, okay, you can become this controversial, but you better win. And they have been a now team for how long, Robert? How long have they been a now team for?
At least 3 years, if not four.
Yeah. And so, no, I do not believe in them. And I want to love the Jazz. I can't see the Jazz in the NBA Finals. And Bob and I have talked about this before. Okay. Let's start with the Lakers first. Bob, were you surprised that it was the Clips who made the bigger move at the trade deadline and got a guy, by the way, who has played his ass off for the Knicks in terrible circumstances, and that is Marcus Morris. And I know he screwed the Spurs. I get all that, okay?
Yeah.
That's a great piece for the LA Clippers. And so were you surprised that the Lakers didn't do yes. something, or were they assuming that they could lure Darren Collison out of retirement?
Well, which they, I guess they did woo him, but he spurned their advances and he's officially remaining retired. Yes, I thought there'd be some auxiliary move somewhere, somehow. I still think that there could be deeper, no question. And a lot of it centered upon what they think or what anybody thinks of Kyle Kuzma. And he's still there and that's that. The answer is yes, I was surprised. I thought they'd try to do something. And I totally agree with you that Morris was a dream kind of auxiliary player for the Clippers to get. They did need another somebody. They needed another something, and I think he brings some professionalism and a top of the talent. And he's I think he's going to be a good fit. I think he'd be a good fit for anybody, frankly. We had him here, and we know what he's like in Boston. And, I didn't like that Spurs thing, but, it's a business, as Andre Drummond found out.
Okay, because obviously, if you're choosing upsides down in the gym, you take AD and the King ahead of Harden and Westbrook. So this is another way for me to ask you, Bob, do the Lakers have enough as constituted to win the NBA championship this year?
Yes, I think because when the big games come, they will have LeBron James and they will have Anthony Davis, and that is going to be, that is the best 1-2 now, still best that basketball can offer, even better than Leonard and George, and anyone else you can name, and unless you think that the best 1-2 in basketball is Antetokounmpo and anybody else, you know, but I think they probably do, because I don't think Mike this year, I don't think there's a great team. I know that history's going to look at a team that the Bucks, we're going to talk about them. They're on their way to winning 70, which means has to put them in a category of great all-time teams, but I don't feel it with them. I don't think they're invincible in any way that this is that great a year. So I think you can win with the Lakers have, yeah.
To get to 70, 25-5 the rest of the way? I mean, that's doable.
Quite
doable.
Quite doable. And, that's it's going to be a tribute. You know, if he's got to be the MVP, then that's, if that's the case. I mean, there's a lot of good candidates, but, you know, come on. He's the reason, ultimately.
All right. So, all right, let's leave L.A. for – no, let's stay with L.A. for a second. The Clips came off a horrible loss.
Oh, my God.
What was that? I had to look at the score again and say, did they just get beat up that badly by the T-Wolves? And then, you know,
I think the T-Wolves ran up 81 in the first half.
And then, of course, the welcome wagon came in the form of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they sacked Kawhi, and Bob, I think that as long as they finish in the top four in the West, I don't think they're going to make a big run at the number one seed. I just think Doc is trying to manage the season. Okay. They have played, what did they play? 53 games. So they basically got 30 games left. And he just doesn't want any calamities. And they've now added a piece in Marcus Morris. And, you know, and you can see how in a short series, how formidable they're going to be with Kawhi and with Paul George. Even though Ryan always said, never trust a guy with two first names. I'm going to waive that in the case of Paul George. And then the greatest sixth man in the sport, and that is Lou Williams. So, but before we get to the Bucks, because I know you have concerns about the Bucks every time you look at their roster, okay? The matchup, L.A. versus L.A. right now, because this is what it's going to be. It's going to be them. And I'm not saying that Lou Williams forms a big three, but boy, it's a big 2.5, okay?
Yeah.
And unless you think that's Kuzma, the Clippers might have the numbers on them, Bob, personnel-wise.
I think so. I thought before the season their roster was a little deeper, and it's further strengthened. That's why this Morris thing is really an important move, I think, in the whole dynamics of the league. So, yes, I think they have more play. It's going to come down to, you know, how toweringly great LeBron and Davis will be and if there's any Mr. X factor from, you know, that materializes big from someone else, but who exactly, you know, it's Rondo. I don't think so. You know, once I mentioned Kuzma, you know, Kuzma is a talent. You know, maybe he'll have a big playoffs. I don't know, but no, I'd say definitely the roster depth favors the Clippers.
And Bob, we got to get to the Bucks, because, you know, every time you start off talking about the LA teams and you look at the Bucks record and you say, wait, are we burying the lead in the National Basketball Association? The Jazz continue to be an intriguing team, Robert. They buzzer beat the Rockets last. Yeah. I think Bogdanovich made
that shot, huh?
Yeah. And so here's their starting team, Bob. Okay. Bogdanovich, Rudy Gobert, Michael Conley, who, you know, people think just had fallen off radar, Ingles and Donovan Mitchell, okay, and a superb core, and you know who scored 30 points? Jordan Clarkson scored 30 points for them.
I'm looking at this 12 for 19 on the floor,
and they're sitting right there in the fourth spot. I mean, the Nuggets and the Jazz don't appear to be conceding anything, Robert.
No. There's a spunk there, and they got a spunky coach too. You know, Quinn Snyder. And
oh boy,
yeah. You know, they and Chris Gobert is always a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, and Conley, you know, who got famous for being rich, and still is the answer to the trivia question: what guard was at one point the highest paid player at his position in the league?
Michael Conley,
and has never made an All-Star game.
Michael Conley. I can remember when Christian Laettner came out of Duke and I asked you how good he was going to be, and you say he'll have a long career in the NBA and he'll probably never make an All-Star team. And it turned out to be correct. All right, Bob, let's go to the East, okay? Yeah. And let's go to the East. And you do have concerns about, you know, the singer at the front of the stage and then the chorus. You still have concerns about the chorus.
Yeah, the backup group, you know, and because we went through this with nobody, because, you know, with Michael was always Michael and the Jordanaires, and to my mind, this we have revisited that concept again with
except one of the Jordanaires was Scotty.
Yeah, right. That's right, and it was without, you know, the greatest wingman maybe ever. you have to make that argument. Yeah, I mean, I keep looking at this group, you know, and I know Middleton's an all-star, you know, he merits and he's a fine player.
And a big disappointment in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, you know, but then you got the Lopez twins, and which is fascinating that they wound up on the same team.
Right.
And of course, the Mr. Here's really maybe what I'm with my hang up. The whole league is almost hung up on the volatility of Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you trust Eric Bledsoe?
On Saturday night, they play the Magic, and I'm looking at his stat line here. 18 points, 7 for 16, 8 assists, and you take that. I mean, you take that in any playoff game they would play.
But are we sure we're going to get it? I don't know. But obviously, we know they're well coached, and that's true. And you know, the greatness of this young man is amazing. And though he's had a 30-20 game most recently, and he can give you triple doubles, and defensively, you know, he's a complete marauder. He's a wrecking crew on defense. He's astonishing. Antetokounmpo is so.
Have one of my favorite players coming off the bench. One of my favorite players in college basketball over the last 10 years, Dante DiVincenzo from Villanova. You know,
what a lucky.
He's getting some minutes too, Bob.
He's earned them. And you know, it's really so much of the life of a fringe player. And you know, that's not an insulting phrase.
Right.
If you're an NBA player, you're a hell of a player, period. But it's so dependent on the luck of the draw and where you go in the draft and who needs what when they take, you know, and you know, you didn't know Dante DiVincenzo could be buried on the Knicks, God forbid, or someone else, you know, or the Warriors at the moment. But instead, you know, here he is getting a chance to play with the team that's on its way to winning 70 games and without pressure, you know, to you know, just be yourself. And we saw what he could do in that NCAA championship game. And anyway, I agree with you. I like him a lot.
All right, let me ask you this, Mr. Ryan. If somebody had told you coming into this season that in the run-up to the All-Star game, your team from the north end of Boston would be 37-15, had survived, you know, injuries to Kemba and injuries to Gordon Hayward, Bob, you would have signed. They're like sneaking around, okay? They're sneaking around in the Eastern Conference. And every time I look at the Celtics and think about a short series and maybe a 95-92 game, they go into that game not with three guys. They go in with four guys who can really play. Tatum, Hayward, Kemba, Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they have seldom been united, and last night they were for a while, and then Brown got hurt again. He's got two questionable ankles, so they have seldom been whole with what Brad Stevens has publicly identified as his five best players, and yet because of the depth, because of the versatility that these guys all have, up front with Tatum. Gives you versatility, and Hayward, of course, is a queen in the chessboard kind of player, and they are well coached, and they've managed to hang in the way they are.
And there was a little hue and cry about them not making a big move, right?
So 2 years in a row now. Now last year was interesting because last year we identified there were five contenders in the East, and four of them made a trade, a transaction, and on the trade deadline, and one of them didn't. And the one that didn't was Boston, and they felt at the time, I think they felt they were good. Their issue wasn't talent. Their issue last year was chemistry. They had you know who, that guard that's now in Brooklyn, and this year same thing. But this year, the talent is there, but the chemistry has been there, and they like their group, and they didn't, you know, they didn't have the people are banging the drums. Now I admit I was myself doing this in the beginning of the year. Got to get a big guy. Got to get a big, strong defensive presence in the middle. You know, they miss Aaron Baines, and he was giving them that. But the fact is that Cantor is actually, Enes Kanter, who's actually, in addition to the things he does very well, such as get offensive rebounds and put them back up, has actually improved his defensive ability, talent. He's improved his defensive usefulness. And they're making do fairly well there. Now, maybe when the playoffs come and they have to deal with an Embiid, if it is, and someone, but they're getting by. Daniel Theis, nobody knows who Daniel Theis is. Daniel Theis is a German who's now in his third year with this team, who had an excellent rookie year, a so-so second year, and is back with playing where he was 2 years ago. He's a pretty good player. He's 6'8". He can make a three. He scraps on the boards. One of the team guys said he's stronger than he looks. They're good. They're in the mix. They're going to be the big threat to the Bucks.
Before we move on from the Eastern Conference of the NBA, Bob, there is at least the opportunity, the way the season is playing out, and if we don't guarantee the Lakers or the Bucks a spot in the NBA Finals, that Kawhi's old team could end up facing him and his new team in the NBA Finals. You know, Bob hears me say this all the time. Bob admits this. In the race that only I care about, the Raptors currently have a two-game better record than the L.A. Clippers. Bob, it's getting lost a little bit, okay? What is it, 14 in a row now?
14 in a row. They've won 14 in a row, folks. You haven't been looking at all.
And again, if the Bucks weren't having this magical season, they're 39-14. They're 6.5 games behind the Buck. Bob, this is a great basketball story because they didn't just take their balls and go home after Kawhi left.
No, what they did was they rallied around and said, we're going to show them. We're going to show everybody. Now, you know, I don't think it's a vindictiveness towards Kawhi Leonard. They all knew when they got him that it was probably, he was going to be a rental, and it's the most useful, valuable rental I can think of, and certainly in basketball ever. Probably the best one since Rasheed Wallace went to Detroit, but 16 years ago now. Anyway, they're band of brothers. They're going, you know, the chip on the shoulder, whatever kind of metaphor you want to use or similar, that's who they are. I keep saying they're the most motivated team in the league. I think,
Bob,
truly.
I think if they go 21-8, they win 60 games this year. I mean, think about that. Okay.
One tidbit on them, people. This is
on the
really
Raptors?
Impressive.
On the Raptors?
Yes. I'm going to wrap up the Raptors by doing this. The Raptors are 20-7 at home and 19-7 on the road.
I know.
How about that?
I follow them. They are just an incredibly fun team to watch, and it's an incredibly fun story to follow. Okay, we are going to go to two completely unrelated subjects, unless, of course, Pete had some kind of play on the Duke Carolina game on Saturday night. But before we do, a word from our sponsor, Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Bob, let's start with one of the most entertaining bad basketball games I have seen in a long time. Down there on Tobacco Road, Duke, Carolina. Bob, I had Taylor and Hannah were out on Saturday night, and so I'm home alone, okay? And I started watching Duke, Carolina, because it's hard for me to process still how bad Carolina's been this year, okay? And now the Tar Heels, Bob, they're going to have one of their signature moments of the season, and they're up 10 at home with 2 minutes to go in regulation. And then, Robert, just about everything happened after that, and Duke finally beats them with a buzzer beater in overtime. Bobby, you couldn't turn this game off.
Well, I watched it. I built my day around it. That was my highlight. And my wife was out too, so I was all set, hunkering down at 6 p.m. strange time for a game.
Yeah, it was, huh?
And it turned out to be a banner. It was a wonderful game to watch. And when you know the dynamics, and when you understand that Duke comes in as the number 7 team in the country, and they're it's a, you know, it's going to be another Duke year kind of year. And Carolina has the worst Carolina team in anyone's memory, and in terms of West record, and they predictably play. And all I could think of was listening all week in the ESPN promo. Jay Billis says Duke Carolina always delivers. And boy, was he proved to be a prophet. It did deliver. And of course, we can't get away with that. Trey Jones was magnificent. Trey Jones is the primary reason why Duke was able to claw back in and win that game. He had the game tire to go into overtime, and he had several big baskets part of that. But Mike, what it comes down to, the sad thing is, I hate this. This is what I hate about there was a cloud over this game. There was a yeah, but
the call or the not
call. Oh God, I hate it when there. I call it loose ends. This was a loose end of loose ends, in which a foul. Anybody knows a foul should have been called, as they're going for that ball out of bounds. That Duke should not deserve to get that.
The only
ball
thing
back.
I thought about that call, and I agree, it was a foul. Okay, I'll say that straight up. Okay, I didn't believe it was as clear cut as they made it sound, because it did look like, even coming from behind, the Duke kid did touch the ball first, so he did have an angle on the ball. But I agree with you, Bob. But here's my favorite thing of that game. Okay. Listening to Trey Jones explain the greatest intentionally missed free throw I've ever seen, and how they practice this. Not only do they practice this, Bob, and it made perfect geometric sense. They have him take a couple of steps to the right. So to give himself an angle off the rim and off the backboard, and he got, Bob, it's exactly what he I'm sure he's done it 100 times in practice. But he got the biggest bounce off an intentionally missed free throw I've ever seen.
Well, what I want to know is that is this, if they do practice this, where they always, this is, has this always been part of the Coach K repertoire, or did they pick up on something that happened within the last 10 days? I forget who. We had a very controversial ending to a game when someone missed a free throw and then, by throwing it directly at the front of the rim and charged in and got it and put it back up to win the game. But was he over the line? And it was,
oh, I, you know, see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, was he over the line or not? And the answer was, it was so close to call that he got away with it. And when you see it, you got to slow it down. He may have been, you know, a tenth of an inch over the line, too soon. I'm wondering if that wasn't what inspired this, because Mike, I said it when I saw the other one, Mike. We all have seen people try to miss by throwing it high in the air and getting the bounce, right? That's the way you miss it. Or you throw it off the backboard and hope that you graze the rim on the way down, because if you don't hit the rim, it doesn't count. Well, I've never seen anyone throw it directly 100 miles an hour off the front of the rim as it was in that other circumstance. And so this was the second time we have seen this in the last 10 days or so in basketball. You're right. I hadn't thought about it.
We can't leave this game by not talking about it. It looked like Cole Anthony was playing with four guys from the gym, okay, from the intramural league. Cole Anthony is he made mistakes, but Cole Anthony is a wonderful basketball player.
Yeah, their season would have been markedly different if he had been able to play.
And Bob, you know what was interesting? The other thing, and then we'll move on to Pete Rose. Mike, you know, and again, boy, does college basketball need Duke to be good this year? Because with all respect to Gonzaga and Baylor, okay, they're going to need Duke to make a run, okay, and to just give it some marquee. Mike was coaching his ass off at the end. And did you feel like Roy was just watching the game? And Bob, even on that free throw, you know, Mike makes one more substitution, gets his rebound. You know, it's like, yeah, not three, offense, defense. He gets his rebounders into the game.
Sub three guys, the big three big people.
And yes. Mike's coaching up his team. And I felt like Roy was almost like a Hall of Fame spectator down the stretch on Saturday night.
All right, I'm going to sneak one in very, very, very quickly. I stayed up. I watched Gonzaga. They hit 14 of their first 15 shots. 14 of their first 15 shots en route to a 30-point victory over St. Mary's. They're damn good. If anybody gets a chance to see them, if you love college basketball, you got to go look at the Gonzaga is very much for real. Okay. I'm off the soapbox.
Okay. And now, before we get to parting shots, Bob, what's baseball going to do about Pete Rose? Because I've been in the barrel with Pete. I know Pete. I know he lied his ass off for years, and then he got religion way late in the church service. But in light of the electronic scandal, what are they going to do about this old man?
Well, I don't see the connection. I don't see the connection. My pitch on Pete,
He's going to get in, by the way. I wrote a thing myself
in the fall. About it's time, and I, you know, outlining how much I've been totally on board with him not being eligible, and I said no one in baseball in the world may love baseball more than Pete Rose, but he loves gambling even more, and that's the sad reality of Pete Rose. Why he's in this fix it, he got in anyway. I said baseball, hey, you got to say come home all is forgiven because baseball is now in bed with gambling. Baseball is totally in bed with gambling, and as long as they're totally in bed with gambling, now that there was no more moral justification to punish a person because he gambled. I'm very serious. So I advocate that he be allowed to be on the ballot now on the basis of the gambling aspect, not because of the sign stealing.
And Bob, even the president of the United States is solidly in Pete's corner. So what could possibly go wrong with this? All right, listen, before we get to parting shots, reminder that as always we are sponsored by Geico.
Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
Mr. Ryan leads off.
Now, parting shots.
You know, I doubt anyone will ever figure out Bob Knight. Words such as irascible, contrary, arrogant, and for sure, stubborn can certainly apply. Since his ouster from Indiana in 2000, he has steadfastly refused to return to Bloomington, famously spurning such events as a reunion of his 1976 team, the last undefeated champion in men's Division I basketball. Until Saturday, for reasons unknown, the now 79-year-old coaching great did return to Indiana, perhaps because the foe was Purdue, once coached by a frenemy named Gene Cady. Knight has had disturbing, unsettling moments in public this past year. So draw your own conclusions about why he felt this was the time. Now, I am one of many whose own relationship has been, well, uneven. I have long feared he'd die friendless and embittered. Now, perhaps Saturday was a sign that may not be the case after all.
Okay, it's complicated with Mookie Betts, as Bob and I have discussed thoroughly today. The whole thing is complicated right now in Boston. 15 months, just that, after the Red Sox won their fourth World Series in this century. No Mookie, still no manager, though it looks like they're going to hire Alex Cora's bench coach, Ron Renicki, once the commissioner issues his findings on what electronic funny business the Red Sox were engaged in 2018. But what has not changed in Boston is that the principal owner of the team, John Henry, is never afraid of change. The one constant in what has been a Red Sox century so far in big league baseball has been Henry, along with his co-owner, Tom Werner. The Red Sox have won the World Series with two team presidents, three general managers, three different managers. Before they won their last series in 2018, the one before that was in 2013. The Red Sox finished last the season before that, and in August of that season, they made a huge trade, mostly to dump salary with, wait for it, Bob, the Los Angeles Dodgers, giving them Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, and Carl Crawford. This is different, of course. None of those guys are Mookie. But as angry as Red Sox fans are at John Henry, Bob, you at least got to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? That'll be it for our Monday edition of the Sports Grizz. Again, Mitch will be back with us on Thursday. Again, we've had an awful lot of fun putting the band back together, and we have expanded our range of topics by doing this twice a week. Please, you know, if you go somewhere and rate the show, go give us 5 stars. Find us on Pandora Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. And if you like us, leave a comment on the show. If you don't like us, leave a comment on the show. We check out both. But for my pal Bob Ryan and me, Mike Lupica, talk to you again on Thursday.